99.3 Nigeria Info Lagos. Good. Good morning to you. Welcome to Dailies Today, right? We're reaching you live from our audiovisual studios on Etemi and Crystal Victoria Island, Lagos, Nigeria. I am Sheriff Quadri.
And I'm Jimmy Disu. Good morning.
Let's begin. We've got the papers here. By the way, you can watch us online. Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. And let's hear from you. Drop your comment as we go along. We're going to start with this story here on page 2 of the New Telegraph newspaper. Tinubu inaugurates Lagos Red Line, chides NLC over frequent strikes.
Okay, so now that it's been inaugurated, for all it's worth, we congratulate the party. It took forever to put together, but it's better late than never. At least Lagosians will benefit tremendously from this new facility. Some have also complained about the costs. Okay, but I think that's part of the Nigerian what would you do in a place like Ethiopia for $1 million? You'll be doing in Nigeria for 10-15. But I think that is a given. We've all accepted that. I haven't. But people seem to have accepted that. You're not going to be making any new point if you keep stressing at what cost. We know how these things go down, you know. But like I usually say, like the reggae people who say, we know what I want. So the president was in town yesterday, and it was a good day for him, yeah, you know. And he launched the red line. But he also made a few statements that we probably need to examine a little bit here. And this is what the president said. He said, Labour has gone on strike 4 times within 9 months in my government. That's a record. Calling for a strike in just 9 months of an administration is unacceptable. Mr. President, the way you have handled the affairs of our country so far is unacceptable. That's what has led to the strikes. If one thing leads to the other, the way you have handled the country is not the way countries are handled. Where off the cuff of your head, you just say, you know, subsidies gone, and so you are the cause, sir, of these incessant. In fact, the president should be grateful that these strikes have, you know, they've come and gone relatively peacefully. I don't think he has a very, very good idea of what people are feeling outside, and I think we'd plead with something that made the Emir of Kano had to tell his wife to tell him. I don't think he has the real feel. And he already said that he doesn't go anywhere near the social media. So he won't get the feel of the various, you know, little pockets of demonstration here and there. And he has to be careful. When you begin to hear rumors of this and rumors of that, it's all more or less like a yellow card. I hope he realizes that. Anyway, and he says that calling for a strike in just 9 months of an administration not acceptable. NLC is not the only voice in Nigeria. It should wait till 2027 if it is interested in joining the electoral process. This is a very unfortunate statement coming from a president. It's highly insensitive. And I wonder why, at a time when, you know, the state is celebrating something that it could have, you know, could have been part of the glory, you now go and accuse. The president should know. If he thinks that the NLC is the Labour Party, he has another thing coming, Mr. President. He should be happy that the NLC is standing in the gap. What are we talking about? I don't want to talk, you know, don't let's go there again because we keep repeating it over and over again. But I'm sure you've seen the video of the girl, you know, binding 50 naira gari, just about 2 or 3 teaspoons. Things are very bad, Mr. President. So they are not just making a fuss. They are not just making it. I don't know whether this speech was written for him or he spoke, you know. While averring that the complaints of Nigerians are loud enough, Tinubu said he is, as a result of the economic challenges, confronting the country, adding also that he is not complaining because he asked for the job. I like that statement. Says you can criticize, you can bash, whatever. I asked for the job. And he says the buck virtually stops with him. And he said that no going back on reforms revolution. Yes, there's some reforms going on, one must admit. But the key thing is, what are they producing? The morning shows the day. Okay, how is it being carried out? The other day, he was criticizing the civil service. And I said that, again, it's a self-inflicted injury. You can't be practicing nepotism in an organization and expect them to cooperate with you. In this financial structure now, it's full of Yoruba people and your personal friends. Who do you think would now want to get, would now want to assist you to get the job done? That's the reality. That is the reality. And he says that, I speak to Nigerians through this podium that change is possible, and change is possible, and change we must achieve. I'm glad he knows that change is possible. That's where I end my analysis for this one.
Let's go pick up on the Vanguard newspaper now. Page 5. Confusion over NIN BVN link to bank account.
Yesterday was hell. It was so bad that a major bank, you know, that I was at yesterday, they ran out of funds. A gentleman came, he wanted to do a transfer. He was trying to hint the cashier there that, if you don't give me a proper form, you see this gentleman standing here, he will blow your gasket tomorrow. The girl didn't understand. A bank of that repute, you want to do a transfer. There were no transfer forms. He had to write it on a piece of paper. I, Jimmy Disu, account number this, transfer the amount of 2 million to Sheriff Quadri of so-and-so bank on a piece, on not even on the bank's letterhead. Disgraceful. But come and see people. And apparently, there is confusion on over the NIN and BVN linked to banks. So you had quite a number of people. And it says here, maximum daily transaction has tier 1 accounts and tier 2 accounts. Maximum daily transaction for tier 1 account is 50,000. What maximum account? No, I don't understand all this. So don't let me confuse myself. Anyway, the part that is readable and is understandable, it is mandatory for all tier one bank accounts and wallets for individuals to have BVN and or NIN. The lady was asking me, the cashier was asking me yesterday for my BVN. I don't know it all. How many things am I going to know of it? I quickly scrambled. I opened my app. It's my BVN.
Yeah.
But she forgot in the process. So I ran out of the bank. And it remains mandatory for tiers 2 and 3 accounts and wallets for individual accounts to have BVN and NIN. The process for account opening shall commence by electronically retrieving BVN or NIN related information from NIBS or NIMCs. That's BVN from NIBS, NIMC for NIN database, and for SIM to become the primary information for onboarding of new customers. That has become a racket. It has become a racket. You have to grease some palms before you can retrieve these things. And the network has been bad in recent times, so you can imagine the various difficulties that we've had in this area. Anyway, if you want to open an account, I'd advise that you buy the Vanguard. Read it. It's on page 5. It gives a full description of what is going on. But I would suggest that you take advantage of doing electronic banking. It saves you all that hassle.
Why do I feel that this is relatively new? Because before now, what we had was that you have got to link your BVN to your bank account. I mean, maybe I'm the one out of the loop here.
No,
now I'm hearing tier 1, tier 2, tier 3, BVN, and then BVN plus NIN, or maybe the banks didn't communicate this properly from the outset. I'm not exactly satisfied with the way the entire thing has been managed.
Neither am I. I mean, I've opened banks in other countries. The process is almost seamless. Yes, the process is almost seamless. Technology and banking operations have gone beyond what we are doing here. I know we are trying to play safe, and I can quite understand that. But there must be another way to simplify these things. This is part of the problem. Some of the things that they ask for, even in getting your passport, there's somebody waiting for you at the other end to carry him along. So what I'm saying is, okay, so you go to your bank, you want to retrieve your BVN, there's another wallet on his own. Then to now link it with your NIN. This country can, like fellow say, it will tire you. But I'm not opening any new account. So where's the money to put in a new account? So if you're interested, you know, go buy the Vanguard, page 5. Find it there.
And read there. Let's go to Daily Trust now. Let's leave the Vanguard. Tinubu travels to Qatar with 38-man delegation. The writer says it's breach of pledge to cut cost of governance, CSOs.
Yes. Yes. What we're having here is that there's an updated list that I have here, reading from the papers. The paper itself is not completely sure that it's authentic, but I think they're just playing safe. And it says that on the updated list of the delegation for the president's state visit to Doha from 2 to 3 include Seyi Tinubu private. What does that mean? What does Seyi Tinubu private mean?
No, private is like the description.
Yes, because he has no function. I wonder if this gentleman has his own job. What does Seyi Tinubu private mean? The president doesn't have respect for Nigerians sometimes. He doesn't stick to his words. And and you can see it from his attitude. I remember when he said during the campaign, I'm going to do this and you will shout and shout and shout, but I will do it. We are not animals. See, these are the little things that aggravate people, and I'm highly aggravated. What is a 30-something-year-old son doing in a government delegation and you list him as private? You understand what I'm saying? Then also, in the president's team is another Yinka Tinubu private in this list. Then there's Akin Muri Okunola, principal private secretary. I wonder why a principal private secretary has to go, but if he wants it, so Ambassador Victor Adekunle Adeleke, SCOP, I don't know. Then there's another Dr. Ade Tinubu, PP. Three Tinubus.
Yeah.
One private, two privates, and one PP. Then there's the SSAP household. What is the household going to do in Qatar? You need to examine. There's Damilotun Aderemi, SSAP, that senior special assistant, I don't know, the private secretary to the CNC. There's Lukman A. Fasasi, CSO, that is clear. Lieutenant Colonel Nurudin A. Yusuf, ADC, that is clear. DCP Usman Shugaba, ACP. And there is Mohammed Bashir, CDCSI, I don't know what is that. Also in the delegation are Kamaruddin Olale Yusuf, PA Special Duties, Olawale Fadare, PA General Duties, Nusa Asamota, Official Photographer, well, yes, Sunday Moses, Video, NTA Reporter, Nuhu Baba Ahmed. I like this one. Adi Agbo is a luggage officer. He has to go.
Yeah, of course.
Yes,
of course.
Yes, and so on. And then there are other officials. There's one, I think my cousin is also there. He is SSA Household Duties, Subaya. These things are not jamborees. And these things reflect our characters when we get to where we are going. Okay, so when the proceedings are going on, this is not the federal cabinet meeting that Seyi bumps in and out of. Is he going to be part of the delegation? When is being introduced? Is he going to be introduced as private? Does it show seriousness on our part? Who is going to pay for all this private and whatever? You do these things and you say that people should persevere, things are going to get better. How? You don't lay the good example. But let me also say that the newspaper played safe and they said that they tried to call Ngelale. He couldn't be reached for comment on his mobile phone. And also the special advisor to the president on information and strategy, Bayo Onunuga, a message was sent to him to confirm the authenticity of his boss's list. And of course, he didn't reply. A member of the presidential team, though, who pleaded not to be mentioned, you don't need to add because he was not authorized, who pleaded not to be mentioned to comment on the issue, claimed that the list was fake. However, he did not either produce an authentic list or the number of people that were actually traveling with the president. So we don't even have what we will call a signed list. And I'm wondering what's going on. Sheriff, one tries as much as possible to see if there is a way you can manage and not be too critical of the president. But some of the things that actually do come out are completely irritating. There's a disregard. You understand? You can feel, it might not be the reason, it might not be, you know, but you can feel a disregard for the citizen, for the welfare. It's like, if you don't like it, you heard what the president said, that the Labour people could go form a party. So he sees them as opposition instead of partners in progress. We have a very dangerous situation here, and this story is not for this day. It's a story for another day. But it begins to show that there's a problem ahead. There's a problem ahead. I'm worried about the attitude you get from the president and some of his spokespersons. It's as if the president, for example, they're always quick to say that I'm the president and the commander-in-chief. That came up during the governor's something. What's his name? Fubara. And you get an attitude that even though he claims to be a full-blooded Democrat, I think he shows part of his behavior shows a bit of disdain for the public. Emilukon, it's my time and I can do whatever I like. That is the feeling that I get. I can be criticized, I can do anything, I don't mind. But that's the feeling that I get.
Okay, all right. Let's go to page 10 of the Vanguard now. State police traditional means way out of insecurity in Southwest. That's Yoruba Monarchs speaking.
Okay, so the Yoruba Monarchs want to lend their voices, you know, to efforts that are made, that should be made, apparently, to tackle insecurity. Mm. But part of the problem is that, and I'm going to be very blunt here, part of the problem is that some of the traditional rulers themselves have created these situations by not being close to their people, by being completely arrogant to their people, by not leading by good example. If you have an Oba who is paying bills and bills and bills of money at a social gathering, taking photographs, doing this and that, It's a form of discipline. What security can you get out of that? And the ways and means by which has been well known to pick these traditional rulers have been thrown out of the window. Most of them are friends of those in power. Some of them are even remote politicians and are not even carrying them. So everybody sees them as if, which was, if you check the history of what's it called? Amotekun. Mm-hmm. You will see that it looks as if the governors thought that some people were getting together and wanted to make money out of it. You understand? Which is very unfortunate. So that was why Akeredolu, you know, cut them out and made it a state affair. The Yoruba people need to get themselves tidied up. The first, they need to tell themselves some truths. And the first part of call is we need to call on our obas in the very first instance to behave responsibly. It's a pity that we have to do that, but we have to. Or else we are playing to the gallery. We have to. And maybe it's time for us to define the roles of the obas, and so there's a definite role for them. Because some of the obas, again, are at they are in class. They are, you know, they don't see eye to eye with the security groups that have emerged. Some of these security groups have done well in the past, but you get a general opinion that the various security groups and whatever are there to make, you know, to make money out of the system, and they too haven't carried themselves anywhere. Success is a very dangerous thing to handle. Now, I hope you realize that if it appears that what I'm speaking is disjointed, I'm speaking in parables. And I've said that in 2024 and from then on, you will have to take a deep understanding of some of the things that we say here, because like I would always say, Sherry, if it is not from my mouth, that's all. You feel in the gap.
No, that one is not complete, no.
So, because, again, we need to be careful. some of the security issues are not necessarily Fulani-based security issues. Some of them border on poverty. Some of them are outright crime. But when you cry wolf all the time, and Fulani, every time somebody gets slaughtered, make video and so on and so forth, the propaganda is so bad that it's difficult for the people for you to sift the truth from what you have. Most importantly, no matter what security structure OBAS or whatever puts in place, if you don't carry the people along, you can't carry them along by intimidating them. You have to work with them. You have to identify with them. So that is my advice. That is my advice on that. We are going to have more security challenges, obviously, because there's likely to be more hunger in the land, and there's likely to be more desperation. So we need to brace ourselves. I hope our OBAS, like I said, and our political leaders in the Southwest, I hope they will sacrifice their personal interests for the general good. If that happens, I hope we will all live happily ever after.
Well, what's your thought on the state police thing?
I, in principle, I don't mind state police. It's like in all other countries. But in practice, I have my fears. In principle, yes. But given the Nigerian factor, Nigerians don't behave well. Most of us don't behave well, especially in authority. And it can be used as a tool to intimidate people. Part of the balance you have now is that in some states, if some governors want to mess you around, you can quickly call your AIG or whatever to come and bail you out of this. The moment you have state police and the buck stops with governor, you can imagine what has happened even to journalists in some other states. Luckily, Lagos State is a bit more tolerant. But you remember what happened? I think it was in Cross River, where the governors were just locking people up. So in principle, yes, but in practice, do we have that maturity to handle state police? I think not.
All right. Let's go take our next story. This one, we're going back to the New Telegraph newspaper. Airlines to unblock lower ticket inventory as fare on international routes set to crash.
Well, they had to crash. I was having an argument with who was it? I was discussing with somebody on Facebook early this morning. And I said that the airlines have gone through a lot. Let's be very honest with you. The airlines are not charitable houses now. If they've been tied down for 3-4 years, they can't take their funds back to their home country. They can't keep keeping their money here. People need to understand the airline business. You need to recycle the money. And so all your funds are trapped in the banks here. So, of course, somebody has to pay for it. And what I've been told is they try to even see if they can raise the fares, at least so they can get some value and discourage people. They've discovered that the more you raise the fares in some classes, for example, the more passengers you get. Nigeria is a very funny country. 8 million to go on the 6-hour flight. 9-10 or to go upper class or first class. And Nigerians like it. They revel in it. They go father, son, 4 children. Put house up in premium. Flights are full out of Nigeria. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I need to brush up my English, because sometimes I begin to think in Yoruba. So when I want to translate, I get stuck. Talumarujin let you nigba. We will help me to say that, I beg of you. But what we hear now is that, because you see, the way airfares are structured, what they did is, no two fares are the same. They have various levels.
Yeah.
It depends on your deftness. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you see an advert that tells you, this is the secret to, it's a very complex thing. But what they've done is, in the case of Nigeria, they've shut out all the lower prices and stuck to the maximum. And the airports are full. You understand? That's the reality. But thanks to Onyema now with Airpeace, I think they've seen that once Nigerians have, he says it'll go for 1.2, for example.
Yeah.
And it's just a 6-hour flight to Europe. Once it begins also to go to America, it can crash all the prices. because he doesn't have any money to take out of Nigeria.
Right. But the money that he uses to maintain his fleets, he will be struggling
with the likes of breweries and Unilever to go and buy Forex. Excuse me. But his own funds, his operating funds, he can always buy Forex. But his own funds that he wants to take out, a KLM, for example, would rather take all their money to Dutchland and leave a little bit here. You probably don't want to know that sometimes they don't have any assets here.
Yeah.
The office is rented. The staff are localized. In the case of one of the airlines, all the staff, you see them wearing all the uniform, whatever, they are all local. They work for an agency that runs the airline. I mean, but in the case of Onyema now, all his whatever is localized.
That's right.
And he'll be much better off. I mean, look at what you have here. For instance, a distance of 6 hours from Ghana to London may sometimes cost about $800, while a similar distance with similar operating aircraft cost over $2,000 in Nigeria. Hmm. One time, we were all buying tickets from Ghana. But now to go to Ghana, I've been trying to go to... This Chris that is making noise that is going to Ghana to go and meet his wife. He should know. I checked. A ticket to Ghana in certain airlines is almost 700,000. To go to Ghana next door here. At this stage, maybe I just hire a Kano.
We have to go now. We have to go. What's coming up at 9?
Look at the irony. What's coming up at 9 is I'm getting my young baby. She's a social prefect. So she's going to talk about how, at the minimum, you can take a vacation. Because vacation you must take within the limits of your whatever. The one thing you don't want to add to the problem you have on ground is a medical bill. So you have to manage yourself. So that's what we'll talk about. I'm tired of talking about government this, government that. I'll pass that to you and Kofi Batel. Let us talk about how to live life and stay alive.
All right. Because there you go. He's back at 9. Let's return you back to Kofi Batel's Now on the Morning Crossfire. Thank you all for being a part of Dailies today for this week. We're back next week on the show. Our Daily Digest will return at 9 this morning. Stay here.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info.